السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد بن عبد الله، عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم، أما بعد. All praise and thanks be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is no doubt our creator, sustainer, nourisher, protector and curer. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to shower His choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. So alhamdulillah, today we're going to continue with the story of Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. If only someone can remind us as to where we left Musa alayhi salatu wa salam. I seem to have forgotten it. Any idea? We mentioned something about two things being placed in front of him. And he yanked the beard of Fir'aun. Fir'aun ordered for him to be killed. And who intervened? His wife, Fir'aun's wife, Asiya, she intervened. And two things were placed in front of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. One, we said, was a burning piece of coal. And the other, one report says it was a date, and another report says it was a piece of rock. Anyway, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he outstretches his hand to take the jewel, the rock, or the date. And he did not outstretch his hand to take the coal. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed otherwise, and an angel came in and, you know, pushed his hand towards the coal. He put the coal in his mouth and he burnt his tongue because of that, thereby developing a stammer, as we mentioned. So now, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he grows up to become a strong, athletic young man. He grows up to become a strong, athletic and young man, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah Azza wa Jal talks about him in the Noble Quran. وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَاسْتَوَى آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَاسْتَوَى آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَاسْتَوَى. And when he attained his full strength, okay, and became a man, an adult, آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا, we bestowed upon him hukman, in the sense prophethood, the right judgment of certain things. You can bring all of that in that particular meaning. Wa ilma, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him knowledge as well. Wa kadhalika najzi al-muhsinin, and this is how we reward the good doers, the ones who have brought in ihsan. So now he grew up to become a young and strong man. And in general, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he was an individual with a very strong athletic build. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he was a very strong, muscular individual. And he held a high position, like I mentioned in the previous session, amongst the Qibtiyun, amongst the Copts, as well as the Banu Israel. For the ones who perhaps missed the previous session, I'm not talking about police Copts, I'm talking about the Egyptian Copts, with a T at the end, yeah, Qibtiyun, Copts, as well as the Banu Israel. So he held a high position amongst the two, and he used to visit his home as well. His mother, his sister, his brother Harun, he used to go back and forth from the palace, home, palace. Now one day, he enters the city. Now this was after he had grown up, and he enters the city. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَدَخَلَ الْمَدِينَةَ عَلَىٰ حِينِ غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا فَوَجَدَ فِيهَا رَجُلَيْنِ يَقْتَتِلَانِ هذا من شيعته وهذا من عدوه. So he, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he enters the city ala hini ghafla, in the sense at a time when the people were all unaware. In the sense it was late in the night perhaps, when they were all asleep. They were not very alert at that time. You know, there were not many people on the road. It was kind of deserted at the time he entered the city. And when he did so, فَوَجَدَ فِيهَا رَجُلَيْنِ يَقُتَتِلًا, he found two men, two individuals quarreling, fighting. هَذَا مِنْ شِيَعَةٍ وَهَذَا مِنْ عَدُوِّ. One individual was from his tribe, in the sense from the Banu Israel. وَهَذَا مِنْ عَدُوِّ, and the other was from his enemies, and they were the Qibtiyun, the people of Fir'aun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that one individual was from his own tribe, and the other was from his enemies, from the people of Fir'aun.
فَاسْتَغَاثَهُ الَّذِي مِنْ شِيَعَتِهِ عَلَى الَّذِي مِنْ عَدُوِّ.
The one from his tribe, the Israelite, the one from Banu Israel, he cried out, "Oh Musa, help me against this man. You know, he's oppressing me, help me." Now Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, in general, he was an individual who could not stand oppression at all. Was a very just individual who could not stand any form of oppression. So the minute this individual cried out for his help, he rushed to the aid of that individual, of the individual from Banu Israel, the Israelite. He goes to him and he looks at the person from the people of Fir'aun.
فَوَكَزَهُ مُوسَى فَقَضَهَ عَلَيْهِ
فَوَكَزَهُ مُوسَى. Now what did Musa alayhi salatu wasalam do? He struck him with his fist. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, it was just one blow. He didn't go on punching him. Just one blow. K.O. Knockout. فَوَكَزَهُ مُوسَى فَقَضَى عَلَيْهِ. He killed him. Now what happens? He cries out.
قَالَ هَذَا مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ عَدُوٌ مُضِلٌ مُبِينٌ.
Musa alayhi salatu wasalam never ever intended to kill that individual. He wanted to deflect him from this other man. And that's all he did. He just pushed him, you know, gave him a punch. But that punch was so powerful. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, so from this you should understand that he was an extremely strong and athletic individual. But he did not intend killing that man. But his punch was so strong, that man fell down dead. He fell down like a coconut tree. He just fell down dead. قَالَ هَذَا مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. The minute he saw that, you know, he checked, you know, he's not moving, he's motionless, he's dead. هَذَا مِنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, this is from the deeds of shaitan, this is all shaitan's plan. إِنَّهُ عَدُوٌ مُضِلٌ مُبِينٌ. He is a very clear enemy, a misleading enemy, shaitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Now he realizes his mistake. He realizes his mistake, he has killed someone. He prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately. And this is the quality of the righteous, you know. You, after all, as human beings, we commit mistakes, but it is of utmost importance that we immediately turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He immediately cries unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
رَبِّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِهِ فَاغْفِرْ لِي فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا. قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي فَاغْفِرْ لِي فَغَفَرَ لَهُ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ.
He prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, رَبِّ إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي. Verily I have wronged myself. I have oppressed myself. فَاغْفِرْ لِي, forgive me, فَغَفَرَ لَهُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him because he was sincere. He sought the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Indeed, Allah azza wa jal is the most forgiving, the most merciful. And then he goes on to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, رَبِّ بِمَا أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ فَلَنْ أَكُونَ ظَهِيرًا لِلْمُجْرِمِينَ. O Allah, in regard to that which you have favored me, I will never ever become a helper for the criminals. This is the last time I commit this mistake. I'm not going to help a criminal ever again. Now what happened? People, you know, start to come out to the street later on, and then they find a dead body in the middle of the street, okay? And then the authorities were informed that someone has been killed. The authorities come and now investigations are, you know, going on as to who killed this individual. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was nowhere to be seen, nor was the individual from the tribe of Banu Israel. Now there was just a dead corpse in the middle of the street. So the authorities were informed and now they were all on a manhunt, hunting for the man who killed this individual. News travels to Fir'aun that a person from his family has been killed, from the people of Fir'aun has been killed. And to see it was an individual, a very influential individual from the people of Fir'aun. So this upsetted Fir'aun, and Fir'aun deployed as many forces as possible to find out who the murderer was so that he can take retaliation against the murderer. Because this was the first time a person from the family of Fir'aun was killed. In general, no one touches the people of Fir'aun. This was the first time that someone from the family of Fir'aun had been touched, not only touched, had been killed. So Fir'aun wanted revenge. He wanted vengeance, and he deployed as many forces as possible to find out who killed this man. Now the next day, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, now he notices the authorities going around, you know, hunting for who killed this man. You know, there's a whole investigation going on. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, now he enters the city fearing for himself. He fears for himself and he enters because now he's worried. Because if Fir'aun gets to know that I did it, he is going to oppressively, you know, he will kill me and he'll, you know, perhaps have me imprisoned. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, now he was afraid. He did not do it on purpose. It was unintentional. He did not do it on purpose. So he enters the city. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, فَأَصْبَحَ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ خَائِفًا يَتَرَقَّبًا فَأَصْبَحَ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ خَائِفًا يَتَرَقَّبًا. So he became afraid and he entered the city now, خَائِفًا يَتَرَقَّبًا, full of fear, and you know, he kept on looking behind him because he felt as if someone is following him, somebody is, you know, trying to catch him. Fir'aun and his family, they were massacring so many people, they were killing so many people, but just because one individual from their tribe was killed, Fir'aun deploys all his forces to find this man who killed this individual so that he can, you know, take his vengeance, so that he can get his revenge from that individual. فَأَصْبَحَ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ خَائِفًا يَتَرَقَّبْ. Now Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he enters the city, he himself, now he's so scared, he's looking behind, and now when he enters, lo and behold, now it's morning, and this same man, yesterday who was quarreling from his own tribe, Banu Israel, Israelite, فَإِذَا الَّذِي اسْتَنْصَرَهُ بِالْأَمْسِ يَسْتَسْرِخُ. He's fighting again and he calls out to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. The same individual who picked a fight with the person from Banu Israel, from the people of Fir'aun yesterday. Now the next day morning, he's having a fight and he calls out to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to help him once again. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he looks at him and says, قَالَ لَهُ مُوسَىٰ إِنَّكَ لَغَوِيٌّ مُبِينٌ. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, verily, you are a mischievous person. إِنَّكَ لَغَوِيٌّ مُبِينٌ. You are a plain misleader. You are just out there to cause trouble. You are a troublemaker. He looks at that man and tells him, you are a troublemaker. The man from his own tribe, the Israelite, from Banu Israel. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, فَلَمَّا أَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَبْتُشَ بِالَّذِي هُوَ عَدُوٌّ لَهُمَا. So when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, once again, because he was an individual, like I said, who could not stand any form of oppression, he could not, you know, stand the fact that this man from the people of Fir'aun was trying to harm an innocent person from Banu Israel. Even though he looked at the person from Banu Israel and said that you are a troublemaker, he knew that he was being unjustly, you know, tormented by this man from the people of Fir'aun. He walked towards that man, the man from the people of Fir'aun. فَلَمَّا أَرَادَ أَنْ يَبْتُشْ. And he didn't want to hit him, he just wanted to deflect him, move them apart. Now because he looked at the person from Banu Israel and said, you are a troublemaker, that man took it, you know, personally. He took it to heart and he thought, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is coming forward now to hit him. He thought, because he said, إِنَّكَ لَغَوِيٌّ مُبِينٌ. You are a troublemaker, and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam walks forward. So this man, he thought, now Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, now he's going to come hit me. He quickly cried out, Ya Musa, aturidu an taqtulani kama qatalta nafsan bil ams? O Moses, are you trying to kill me just as how you killed someone yesterday? Now when did he say this? He did not say it in the middle of the night. He said it in the morning, in front of everybody. There was a time when there were a lot of people. It was not at a time, not a hin ghafla, not a time when everybody was away and when the streets were deserted. This was a time when everybody was around. And he cries out, Ya Musa, aturidu an taqtulani kama qatalta nafsan bil ams? Are you trying to, or do you want to kill me just as how you killed someone yesterday? In turidu illa an takuna jabbaran fil ard wa ma turidu illa an takuna minal muslihin. He says, you know, your plan, he looks at Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and says, your plan, your aim is to become a jabbar, is to become, you know, like we would say, like a don, you know, like you're just trying to become a jabbar, a tyrant, an oppressor, and you're just trying to, you know, bully everybody around. وَمَا تُرِيدُ أَن تَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُسْلِحِينَ. And you don't want to become of those. You're not of those who want to do good. Instead, you just want to become an oppressor. You want to become a jabbar. He looks at Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and he says this. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, now he looks around because everybody had heard this accusation. And now they're all murmuring. And news travels like this to the authorities. And before anybody could do anything, they were on their way, the authorities. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he flees now because he knows if he remains there, they're going to take him captive and take him to Fir'aun. He moves from that particular location, and what happens? News travels to Fir'aun, and now a man comes to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْعَى قَالَ يَا مُوسَى إِنَّ الْمَلَأَ يَأْتَمِرُونَ بِكَ لِيَقْتُلُوكَ فَخْرُجْ إِنِّي لَكَ مِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ. O Musa, a man came from the ends of the city. وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ. A man came from the ends of the city. قَالَ, and he came rushing to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and he said, يَا مُوسَى إِنَّ الْمَلَأَ, indeed, the mala in a sense, the leaders, Fir'aun, his viziers, the ministers, all of them have got together and they have decided, ليقتلوك, to kill you. فخرج, depart from the city, leave the city immediately. إني لك من الناصحين. Indeed, I am to you a sincere advisor. I am to you a sincere advisor. So this could have been a person, a righteous person from the people of Fir'aun. He knew after all that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was innocent, and he wanted Musa alayhi salatu wasalam to escape. So no sooner he said this, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam,
فخرج منها خائفا يترقب قال رب نجني من القوم الظالمين.
موسى عليه الصلاة والسلام, he leaves Egypt. He leaves Egypt, and how did he leave? Allah says, فخرج منها خائفا يترقب. He left Egypt full of fear, looking behind his shoulder. He kept on looking behind his shoulder because he was scared the forces of Fir'aun might catch him. He leaves the city praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
رَبِّ نَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ.
O Allah, save me from a nation, from a people who are ظَالِمُونَ, who are wrongdoers, who are oppressors. He cries to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he leaves Egypt. Now where is he headed? He leaves Egypt and he makes his way towards Sham, towards the lands of Madian, towards the lands known as the lands of Madian. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that in the Noble Quran, وَلَمَّا تَوَجَّهَ تِلْقَاءَ مَدْيَنْ قَالَ عَسَى رَبِّي أَن يَهْدِيَنِي سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ. And when he went towards the lands of Madian, he said, he had hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah azza wa jal would guide him to the right way. You know, to the correct path, in a sense, a place where he'll be safe. So now Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, in a sense, what he meant there was he did not want to get lost, and he was hoping that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would guide him somewhere safe where he could, you know, remain for some time. So he heads towards the lands named as Madian. And my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, it was a long and tiring journey. It was a long and tiring journey because he did not have any provision with him. He did not have a proper mode of conveyance, a proper animal with him. He just had the clothes that he had on with him, and he, you know, undertook this long journey. After many days, now no water, no food, his throat is parched, he's barefooted, okay? No shoes, no proper shoes to wear, because the slippers or whatever he was wearing were all worn and, you know, torn. Now he was making his way so tired. He was basically dragging himself towards the lands of Madian until finally he reaches the outskirts of Madian and he spots a well. Bi'r. He spots a bi'r, a well. And his hopes rise now because he thinks that there'll be water there, and he drags himself to the well. But when he came by the well, he realizes that there were a group of men around the well. There were a group of men with their animals, and they were watering their animals around the well. And beside the well, there was a tree, and there were two young women with their animals as well, and they were waiting, you know, a bit afar from the well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Noble Quran,
وَلَمَّا وَرَدَ مَاءَ مَدْيَنَ وَجَدَ عَلَيْهِ أُمَّةً مِّنَ النَّاسِ يَسْقُونَ وَوَجَدَ مِن دُونِهِمُ امْرَأَتَيْنِ تَذُودَانِ قَالَ مَا خَطْبُكُمَا قَالَتَا لَا نَسْقِي حَتَّى يُصْدِرَ الرِّعَاءُ وَأَبُونَا شَيْخٌ كَبِيرٌ
وَلَمَّا وَرَدَ مَاءَ مَدْيَنَ. And when he came by the well of Madian, okay, by the water of Madian, in the sense by the well of Madian, وَجَدَ عَلَيْهِ أُمَّةً مِنَ النَّاسِ يَسْقُونَ. He found a crowd of people, ummah, you know, a nation of people, in the sense there was a huge number of people, يَسْقُونَ, they were watering their animals. وَوَجَدَ مِن دُونِهِمْ أُمْرَأَتَيْنِ تَذُودَانِ. And he also found beside them, or a little, you know, in the distance, somewhere in the distance, two women, and they were تَذُودَانِ. They were holding back their animals. They had brought their animals, but they were holding back their animals, in the sense they were, you know, keeping their animals away from the water. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, like I said, he was an individual who could not stand any form of oppression, and he used to be a very, very helpful individual, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So even being in such a situation, his throat was parched, barefooted, so tired, hungry, he has been without food for days now, without water for days. He goes to these two women and he asks them in a very noble manner, قَالَ مَا خَطُبُكُمَا. What, you know, what is your problem? Why are you standing here without watering your animals? Then they, very politely, they reply, قَالَتَا لَا نَسْقِي حَتَّى يُسْدِرَ الرِّعَاءَ. It is not possible for us to water our animals until these shepherds finish watering their animals. Because in general, shepherds, not all of them, but some of them are of a very harsh temperament and they are not very kind, polite people. So it was actually very difficult for the women to go and water their animals when they were watering their animals. So then these two ladies, they go on to explain that we generally wait until they have finished, and after they are done, we go and water our animals. But then scholars of history also mention that they used to be a little too harsh on these two women, so much to the extent that there was a huge rock, they used to block the well and then go. They used to block the well whenever they, because they did not want the water, because that well hadn't a lot of water and they wanted to reserve the water for their animals. So they used to block the well and leave. So these two ladies in general, they used to go by the well and, you know, there used to be a few puddles and, you know, little pools of water. They used to water their animals with whatever was remaining after the shepherds had watered their animals. So they tell this to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and this is why Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he can't stand oppression, he can't stand zulm. So he waited until all of the shepherds left. They blocked the well as usual and they left. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, now whilst he was waiting for them to leave, he asked them, so don't you have any males in your family, you know, to do all of this? Why are you two struggling and coming all the way to water your animals? This is something, this is a job for the men. Then they went on to say, wa abuna shaykhun kabir. We don't have any brothers, and our father, he is the only man in our family, and he is a very old individual. Abuna Shaykhun Kabir, he's very old and frail, so it's impossible for him to come and water the animals, and that's why we have to come water our animals. So after the shepherds had left, they put this huge boulder, this huge rock, and blocked the mouth of the well. And this rock was so huge that, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the ayah, what did he find? وَلَمَّا وَرَدَ مَاءَ مَدْيَنَ وَجَدَ عَلَيْهِ أُمَّةً مِنَ النَّاسِ. He found many people watering their animals. So it actually took many men to lift the rock and place it. So it was actually impossible for two women to even think of lifting that rock. Let alone two women, even two men would find it difficult. A group of men would have to get together to lift the rock. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he goes single-handedly, he lifted the rock, and not only that, he watered the animals, and then he placed the rock back and blocked the mouth of the well. Now think of it this way, it was not Musa alayhi salatu wasalam who has now freshly come out from the palace, you know, after having a nice breakfast or after having a nice lunch. No, after such a long journey on foot, His throat is parched. He has not had a bite to eat. Okay? And he gives priority to these two women because dhulm, oppression was taking place. He goes and single-handedly lifts the rock, that boulder, all by himself, waters the animal. He forgets to drink water himself. He blocks the mouth again. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So you can just imagine what kind of a person, you know, a very good-hearted individual, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So after watering their animals, now they were very happy because this is the first time their animals have had a good fill of water. Because normally they would drink from the muddy puddles by the well. This was the first time all of their animals had been watered well. They take their animals and they leave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Noble Quran, فَسَقَى لَهُمَا, He watered their animals for them. ثُمَّ تَوَلَّى إِلَى الظِّلِ, And then he went towards the shadow of a tree or of an object, and he laid down by there. You know, he just laid down to rest. And then he says, Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. He prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now he says, Ya Allah, Rabbi inni lima anzalt ilayya min khayrin faqir. Oh Allah, indeed I am in dire need for whatever good that you have to send down upon me. Whatever good that you have to send upon me, I am in dire need. Rabbi inni lima anzaltu ilayya min khayrin. Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. Faqir in the sense, dire need. I am in dire need for the good that you have to send upon me. And he, you know, rests by the shade of that particular tree. Now the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in motion. The two women, they return home. No sooner they reach home, their father, the old righteous man, he was amazed. Because normally his daughters would take a lot of time to come home. They would generally come very late because they had to wait till all the shepherds finished watering their animals, their flocks. And then they had to, you know, water their animals and then return home. Today they're both, you know, coming home early and they look happy. The animals all look, you know, well watered. So he was a bit surprised and he asked them about what happened. And they tell their father all that happened. And after that, this man, Shaykhun Kabir, this old righteous man, he wishes to meet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Because this is unheard of from where they are. Because, you know, it's very rare to see a man of such a righteous nature, such righteous conduct, come forward and help. So he was very eager and very interested to meet Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. So he sends one of his daughters to invite Musa alayhi salatu wasalam home. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Noble Quran, فَجَاءَتْهُ إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَاءَ قَالَتْ إِنَّ أَبِي يَدْعُوكَ لِيَجْزِيَكَ أَجْرَ مَا سَقَيْتَ لَنَا فَجَاءَتْهُ إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَاءَ. Now one of the two women, okay, they came to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and Allah describes how she came. Tamshi ala istihya. She came very in a very modest manner. You know, she was very bashful, she was shy. She came in a very modest manner and in a very respectable manner. She invites Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Qalat, and she says, Inna abi yad'uka liyajziyaka ajra ma saqayta lana. Indeed, our father, he invites you so that he can, you know, reward you for having watered our animals. Because you watered our flocks, our father wants to meet you and he wants to reward you. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he agrees to go with her. And what happened was, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, being Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, obviously a prophet of Allah, of a very upright and noble conduct, he instructed her to walk behind him. Because she was a young girl at the end of the day, he asked her to walk behind him and he would walk in front. To which she asked him, if I am to walk behind, how am I to guide you? I mean, how are you to know where are you going to turn and what not? He said, gather a handful of pebbles, and whenever we come by a crossroad, whenever we come by a junction, if I have to turn right, throw a pebble towards the right and I will take the right turn. If I have to turn left, throw a pebble to the left, I will turn left. And this is how they reached this old righteous man's house. And then Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he meets this man and he tells him, وَقَصَّ عَلَيْهِ الْقَصَصِ. He tells him the whole story. He tells him all that happened in Egypt, what happened about this, the quarrel, about him killing that man unintentionally, and about Fir'aun's order, and about Fir'aun deploying his forces to capture him, his long journey to Madian. He tells him the whole story, all the works basically. After he tells this man the story, the man looks at Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and he realizes that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is being chased unjustly and he is innocent. He looks at him and he tells him, La takhaf, don't fear. La takhaf, don't fear. Najawta min al-qawmi dhalimeen. You have escaped. Najawt, you have escaped from a wrongdoing nation. From a nation of oppressors, you have escaped. Don't worry, you are safe over here. So now after hearing the story, and after hearing the fact that he had been, he had left his city, he had left everything, and that he's so poor, he has nothing to his name. One of the daughters, she goes to her father, and she tells her father, in a very respectable manner, My dear father, قالت إحداهما يا أبت استأجر إن خير من استأجرت القوي الأمين. She goes to her father and she says, Oh my father, why don't you hire him? Because after all, we are just two young women and we find it difficult to water the animals, and there are certain things that only a man can do in terms of hard work, hard labor, and you are also so old, there's no one to look after you as well. So why don't you hire him? He is in need, he needs a safe place to be, and he doesn't have anything to his name. So why don't you hire him? Let him work for you. And then she adds a little bit of diplomacy and she says, إِنَّ خَيْرَ مَنِ اسْتَأْجَرْتَ الْقَوِيُّ الْأَمِينَ. And you know, my father, if you are hiring someone, it's always best to hire someone who is strong and trustworthy. Now the father, being an intelligent old man, he looks at the daughter and says, everything is fine. But how do you know that he is strong and that he is righteous? I mean, you barely met him. How do you know that he is strong and he is righteous? The scholars of tafsir, they mention, she explains, well, I deem him to be strong because he lifted a boulder, a rock, that generally 5, 6, 7, 8 men need to get together to lift. He lifted it single-handedly. And this too, after a long, tiring journey across the deserts, without having a drop of water or a bite of food to eat, he lifted it single-handedly, watered our flocks, and then blocked them out again. So, that naturally means he's a very strong individual. As for the Amin factor, as for him being trustworthy, well, when I went to call him as you instructed me to do so, he immediately wanted me to walk behind him. And then when I asked him as to how I am to instruct him where to turn, he told me to take a handful of pebbles and throw it in the direction that he is supposed to turn. So from this I understand that he is an individual of a very noble conduct, of an upright conduct. He is al-Amin, he is trustworthy. So when this daughter said all of this to this man, he thought to himself, what better or who better a candidate to get married to my daughter? He's the best, candidate to become my son-in-law. So he goes to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and he says, Ya Musa, now that I've listened to your story, I have a proposal for you. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam asks him, yes, what is the proposal? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the conversation in the Noble Quran. The man says, قَالَ إِنِّي أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُنْكِحَكَ إِحْدَى بْنَتَيَّ هَاتَيْنِ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تَأْجُرَنِي ثَمَانِيَ حِجَاجٍ فَإِنْ أَتْمَمْتَ عَشْرًا فَمِنْ عِنْدِكَ وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أَشُقَّ عَلَيْكَ سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. It is Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, oh Musa, إِنِّي أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُنْكِحَكَ, I wish to give one of my daughter's hand in marriage to you. I want to get one of my daughters married to you. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam looks at him and says, fine, but I have nothing to my name. How am I to pay the mahar? I mean, I don't have anything. Nothing belongs to me. How am I to pay the mahar? So then this man says, fine, no problem. You can pay your mahar in the form of labor, where you will work for me. You can live with me. You can live, you know, in my house with my daughter as her husband, and you can work for me. So as a labor, work for me for 8 years. 8 years. And if you wish, he doesn't stop there. If you wish, you can work for 10 years. Heavy mahar, huh? 8 years to work. How much is the general mahar over here? How many rupiah? Average? Around?
Okay.
Oh, okay, okay. It fluctuates? Okay. So back at home, they pay around, average would be around $1,000. Average. It's much less over here?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So back at home, that's the average. I'm talking about the middle class. That's the average over there. Anyway, so, but still, even that, when you compare it to 8 years of labor, how much can you earn for 8 years? A lot. And this is full-time labor. What kind of labor? Not a white-collar job sitting at an office, you know, at your father-in-law's high corporate company, no. A shepherd. You need to water the animals, look after the animals, this kind of labor. 8 years. But let me tell you something. He did not intend to slave drive Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. The whole intention was he wanted his daughter to remain, because he thought if he let her go immediately, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam would get married and they would leave. They would leave. They would go to another land. He wanted his daughter to remain with him for some time, and that's why he imposed this condition. Work for 8 years, and if you want, it's up to you. If you want, work for 10 years, that will be better. He says in the ayah, فَإِنْ أَتْمَمْتَ عَشْرًا فَمِنْ إِنْدِكْ. If you complete 10, then well and good. وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أَشُقَّ عَلَيْكَ. I don't want to impose on you, and I don't want to burden you. But if you can spend 10 years, it would be the ideal. سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْشَاءَ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. And you will find me, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, from amongst the righteous. So now this contract was put in place. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam accepts. And then Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, قَالَ ذَلِكَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكَ. He says, okay, fine, this is established. This contract is between me and you, this contract. أَيَّمَ الْأَجَلَيْنِ قَضَيْتُ فَلَا عُدْوَانَ عَلَيْهِ. So whichever of the two terms I complete, there is no injustice to me. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam makes it very clear. You gave me the option, either 8 years, okay, or 10. Either 8 years or 10 years. So if either one of the two terms, I may leave after 8 years, I may stay on for 10 years, but it's up to me, and you shouldn't consider it an act of injustice if I leave after 8 years. Wallahu ala ma naqulu wakil. Allah is the witness for what we have agreed upon. Okay? So now the marriage takes place, alhamdulillah. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam gets married to this righteous man's daughter, and we have established that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, a very upright, noble individual, a man of his word, he remained for 10 solid years. He remained for 10 solid years out of his own goodwill. He needn't have, you know, remained past 8 years, but he stayed because this was one of the things that that man wanted. He remained for 8 years out of his own goodwill and out of gratitude to that man as well, you know. He came from a foreign land. This man accepted him into his household. And not only that, gave one of his beloved daughters in marriage to him. So out of his own gratitude towards that man, he remained for 8 years. Now, After 10 years, he decides to go back to Egypt. Because now after 10 years, there's this yearning, there's this longing for him to visit his mother, his sister, his brother Harun alayhi salatu wasalam. They're all back in Egypt, right? So he wants to go visit them. So he decides to go back to Egypt to visit his family. So what he does is, he informs his wife, and he had children as well. They all get ready to undertake this long journey back to Egypt. Now they were halfway through the journey. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, his wife, his children, they were halfway through the journey. It was a dark and cold night. What happened was, they lost their way. Because after all, you have to cross the deserts. And in a desert, If you lose your way, you end up doing what? Going round in circles. Because you don't have any landmarks. You don't have any landmarks. You just see sand dunes everywhere. So now they lost their way and they started going around in circles. The Musa alayhi salatu wasalam realized that they are going around in circles. He marked a spot. He marked a spot, or you know, planted something, a rock or something like that. And they went on for some time, only to realize after a period of time, they ended up at the same location. So basically, they started going around in circles. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was now very worried. At that moment and at that time, he saw something blazing far away. Suddenly, he saw something blazing far away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the noble Quran.
فَلَمَّا قَضَى مُوسَى الْأَجَلَ وَسَارَ بِأَهْلِهِ آنَسَ مِنْ جَانِبِ الطُّورِ نَهَارًا.
And when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam completed his term, he was traveling with his family and he perceived from a particular mountain to be known as Mount Tur, he perceived a fire, a blazing fire suddenly. So when he saw that fire, now in the middle of a desert, during a cold, dark night, what do you think a blazing fire indicates? Warmth, obviously, it indicates warmth. And number two, it indicates that there must be someone there by the fire. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he decides to go by the fire so that perhaps he can ask that individual for directions, for help. So he tells his family, قَالَ لِأَهْلِهِمْ كُثُوا إِنِّي أَنَسْتُ نَارًا. He tells his family, all of you remain here, you all stay here, let me go to the fire, let me go by the fire, إِنِّي أَنَسْتُ نَارًا لَعَلِّي آتِيكُم مِّنْهَا بِخَبَرٍ. Perhaps when I go there, I might be able to glean some information. There might be someone, an individual there, I can ask them directions. أَوْ جَذْوَةٍ مِّنَ النَّارِ. Or at the very least, I'll be able to get a burning wood, a burning, you know, brand of fire. At least I'll be able to get a branch of fire and we can come and keep ourselves warm. I'll be able to bring back a branch of fire to keep ourselves warm, at the very least. So now, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam starts to make his way towards the blazing fire. Now Musa alayhi salatu wasalam wraps the clothes tightly around him because it was such a dark, freezing night. So he had this wrapper made out of animal skin. He, you know, wraps it tightly around him. He had his asa with him. He had his stick with him. He was leaning on his stick and he was wearing na'lain. He was wearing two slippers. And now Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, in the middle of the night, in this dark, cold night, he drags himself towards the blazing fire. Now as he started to get closer to the fire, what happens? He closed in on the location and he notices a tree and a fire burning. But no one was around. Now this was strange because in the middle of the desert, not a soul to be seen around. There is a tree and a fire burning merrily. But no one was around to tend to the fire. How did this fire start? How did it burn? It was a strange looking fire as well. So whilst he was just, you know, observing his surroundings, he suddenly hears a voice. Calling out to him. And my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, a voice like none other. Laysa kamithlihi shay. A voice like none other. Because who was it addressing Musa alayhi salatu wasalam? It was none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in the noble Quran,
فَلَمَّا أَتَاهَا نُودِيَ مِنْ شَاطِئِ الْوَادِ الْأَيْمَنِ فِي الْبُقْعَةِ الْمُبَارَكَةِ مِنَ الشَّجَرَةِ أَنْ يَا مُوسَى إِنِّي أَنَا اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he hears a voice. And what's the voice telling him? Inni anallah. O Musa, indeed I am Allah. Rabbul alameen, the Lord of the worlds. Put yourselves in the shoes of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Just imagine how Musa alayhi salatu wasalam must have felt. Not like any ordinary voice. Because laysa kamithlihi shay, there's nothing in comparison to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't think that it was like, you know, like my voice, like a human being's voice. No. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He spoke to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, kama yaliku bi sha'nihi wa jalali, in a manner that befits His majesty and glory. So just imagine Musa alayhi salatu wasalam listening to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. What does he say in the Noble Quran? وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He spoke to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam directly. And that's why He is known as Kalimullah, the one who conversed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. And what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell him? Ya Musa, indeed I am Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And then what was the next command? This is rather the first command to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, a powerful lesson in this. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say?
Inni ana rabbuka fakhla'na alayhik. إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى.
O Musa, indeed, إِنِّي أَنَا رَبُّك. I am your Lord. And look at the first command. فَخْلَعْنَا عَلَيْكَ. Not pray, not all of that. Remove your slippers. فَخْلَعْنَا عَلَيْكَ. Remove your slippers. إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ طُوَى. You are in a blessed valley. From this, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, scholars of tafsir mention the importance of adab, of respect, of good conduct. This is of utmost importance for a believer. This was the first command given to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Remove your slippers. Adab, good conduct, good manners, etiquettes. This is of utmost importance for a believer. Whatever we do, we must do it in a manner that is appropriate. We must be well-mannered, neat, tidy, clean individuals. This is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us at the very first command to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. When you are perhaps talking to an elderly person, you need to talk to him with respect. Back at home, they call elderly people uncle. I don't know whether they do it over here. They call elderly people uncle. You won't go to him and say, Bashir, how are you? You know, you won't ask him because you have respect for him. Be like, Bashir uncle, how are you? You know, or if it's an older, elderly person, you will, you know, humble yourself even more because of his age, because of his experience. And with younger ones, we are supposed to be kind to them because they are young and they look up to us as role models at the end of the day. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he treated them so gently. So we are supposed to treat human beings with the best of conduct at the end of the day. This is something that we learn from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and even the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. The first command, fakhla'na alayk. In front of the ulama, in front of the scholars. Now today, alhamdulillah, things have been made so easy. Like say for example, if you want to clarify your doubts, you don't have to get an appointment with me. You don't have to bring me a gift. Look, I'm not asking for gifts. You don't have to bring me a gift. You don't have to, you know, maybe take me out or something like that. All I ask you to do is tweet me at @Muiz_Bukhari. Okay? It has become so easy. Most of the ulama, most of the scholars, mashallah, are now on social media platforms. You can reach out to them. You can clarify your doubts. You know, in the old days, scholars did not like it. If you want to clarify your doubts, you'd actually have to go to them, sit by them, and clarify your doubts. Only then they will, even in the very recent, certain senior scholars would not even like people calling them up on their phones and asking questions. They'll be like, brother, you want to know? Please come and get an appointment, come and meet me. When you want to go to the doctors, you call up the doctor. Doctor, I've got a bit of fever. Can you, you know, prescribe something over the phone? No, the doctor will be like, please come and pay my appointment charges and then I'll tell you what to drink. But today things have been made so easy, but still, adab is of utmost importance. Even though you can perhaps reach out to a scholar on social media platform, that doesn't mean, oh, so and so, I want to know what's this. Can you please clarify my doubt? Instead, we should have it, you know, put forward in a nice manner where we respect one another because we respect that person for his knowledge. I'm not talking just about ulama. Just say it's a doctor, a medical doctor. We respect him for his knowledge in that particular field. We don't just go up to him and say, prescribe something for me. We say, doctor, you know, this is the thing. We talk to him out of respect because we respect his knowledge in that field. But anybody, an engineer, anybody, we respect that individual for his knowledge in that particular field. So this is of utmost importance. This is what we learn from the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. The very first command, فَخْلَعْنَا عَلَيْكَ. Remove your two slippers. The Quran has so many lessons to derive from, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. We can't just skim over فَخْلَعْ عَلَيْكَ. Okay, maybe, you know, it was perhaps uncomfortable for Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and that's why Allah wanted him to remove his slippers. No. There are huge lessons to be derived. There are so many lessons. If you go to the tafsir of this particular ayah, you will realize how much the scholars, rahimahumullah, has spoken in this regard. فَخْلَعْ عَلَيْكَ. Just one ayah. Remove your slippers. إِنَّكَ بِالْوَادِ الْمُقَدَّسِ تُعَى. Because you are in the sacred, or rather the blessed valley of Tuwa. It was known as Tuwa. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, وَأَنَا اخْتَرْتُكَ فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. Oh Musa, I have chosen you for something. I have chosen you for something. So listen now to what is going to be revealed unto you. وَأَنَا اخْتَرْتُكَ فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى. So listen now, O Musa, to what is going to be revealed unto you. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, an amazing conversation takes place between Allah Azza wa Jal and Kalimullah Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. An amazing conversation where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees certain things, commands Musa alayhi salatu wasalam in regard to certain things. Allah azza wa jal blesses him with certain miracles. Almost every, you know, statement in that conversation, there are lessons to be derived. So with that, we'll conclude today inshallah ta'ala. But tomorrow, we'll go through those statements and we'll derive the lessons inshallah ta'ala. Two questions came in. With that, I'll wrap off inshallah ta'ala. One was whether it is permissible to taste food when you are fasting. To taste food when you are fasting. I don't mean, go to an ice cream shop perhaps and let me taste this. Not that tasting. When you are cooking, when someone is cooking, maybe if someone is a chef or a cook, or the ladies at home when they are cooking, is it permissible for them to taste the food to check on the salt levels, etc.? Scholars, rahimahumullah, explain, if it is done in this manner, where the food is placed at the tip of the tongue, and if it is immediately spat out, then it is permissible, because tasting is not like eating and consuming food, and after all, it's just to determine the salt levels perhaps, or the sugar levels, or whatever you want to determine in terms of the dish, in terms of the curry. You just taste it using the tip of your tongue and immediately spit it out and wash your mouth. Then it is permissible. Wallahu alam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The second question that came in was in regard to the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, whether number one, the wife of the minister who tried to seduce Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, was her name Zulaykha, number one. And number two, did Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam get married to her at the end of the story? Because there is this story that's going around that towards the end of the story, she comes as an old lady, frail, you know, bent into two, blind. And then Musa alayhi salatu wasalam sees her, he feels pity and he feels sorry for her. He prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She is forgiven and she is given her young age back again, and he marries her. This is a story that is, you know, familiar amidst the people. The thing is, in that, I didn't mention any of that because based on my research, I didn't come across any of those stories. I didn't come across the fact that her name was Zulaykha, nor did I come across any mention that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam married her. So what about these stories? Where did they come up from? It's a possibility that they could have come up from the Israiliyat, the narrations of the Banu Israel, like I mentioned at the very first session. But even I myself didn't come across it, and that's why I didn't mention it. So basically, according to that which is authentic, there is no mention of whether her name was Zulaykha or whether Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam got married to her. Wallahu alam, Allah knows best. I look forward to meeting you all tomorrow. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.